Do you find yourself often straying beyond the beaten path? Are you always curious about what is just around the bend, or what lies behind an outcropping of unusual rocks? Well then, welcome fellow wanderer to Feathers and Bones, a blog and podcast dedicated to exploring all things lost and found in Mother Nature's kitchen sink. Join me, Junie Jen, and my co-wanderer and host, Christine, each episode as we discuss and share our wandering adventures and discoveries. And as always, feel free to join the conversation by leaving comments on our website at feathersandbones.blog. Welcome back to the Feathers and Bones podcast. I'm sorry we've been gone for a little bit, but it has been the month that never happened. I went to a funeral and ended up getting COVID with my whole family, so that has been a fun experience.
I started working, so I just don't have as much free time, but here we are.
We're back again, so sit back, relax, join us for our second podcast.
About bones.
Yes, we had feathers, now we're going to talk about bones. When I was younger, I remember just really loving the artwork of Georgia O'Keeffe. I've always done artwork myself, and there was just something about the images she had of these, like, she had this one with this giant bone floating over this mountain, and it's all in blues and whites, and it just looks like this big mothership hovering over the earth. And to me, it was saying, I am made from you, and you are made from me, and there's just something really visceral about it. And then her skull pictures of the flowers, life and death kind of juxtaposed against one another. Fascinated by bones from then on. When we're in the hills, where do we find?
We find bones.
Bones, yes.
Bones.
All over. Lots of bones.
And I don't know that I've been interested in bones as long as Jen, because I didn't really get interested until she pointed them out to me.
Not as morbid as I am.
Well, then I learned to look for that white spot on the mountain where you could see the bones. And then I would find myself hiking alone looking for bones for her. And
I love Christine because she knows what I love. But this podcast is all about them. We're going to talk about where we find them, what we find, what we do with them. And it's also going to have a photo journal included that you can check out on the blog itself or on our page. And it will have all the pictures that correspond to what we're talking about today. So be sure and check that out and leave a comment. Tell us about what you like about bones or what you find.
Or something you learned from our podcast, because a lot of things I've learned about bones have been from Jen, and that's kind of nice to get to expand my knowledge about bones.
Thank you, Christine. I learn from Christine all the time, too. She's the super scientific one, and I'm kind of like the, ooh! You
know? That's probably true.
We both have a little of each, but she's definitely very, very intelligent lady. I wanted to mention, speaking about comments, a couple comments that we had. I wanted to thank our commenters. We had Julie Kahn, who said, beautiful article. This is about the feathers article. And she says, I look at found feathers with renewed interest. My father often spoke of the great bird. Usually it was in jovial terms. He was a lover of birds, though, and had pigeons all his life. Why some of us are drawn to birds has always been a curiosity to me. Your blog has put some pieces in that puzzle. Thank you, Julie, for your comment. That's a beautiful thought about your dad loving birds. And I do think a lot of people have a real connection with birds. And I just think it's one of those things that is universal.
I love the comment of why some of us are drawn to birds. I think as a kid, I always wanted to fly. So I think I am a bit more drawn to feathers than bones, although I do love the medical and the everything structural about bones. So,
well, and birds have bones too. So
that's true.
But yeah, I agree. And then I also have a comment from Kathleen Jukes, who happens to be my mother. I will admit that straight up. It's my first commenter. Thank you, Mom. I mean, I love my mom. What can I say? What a better mom than to be the first commenter on her daughter's blog. She says, love it. What a delightful concept. So thank you, Kathleen Jukes, my beautiful mom. She's amazing. So back to our blog. We're just going to talk a little bit about, first of all, what do we like or know about bones in general? Christine, I'll let you start.
Some of the things I like about bones are like the cartilage. The first time I found some bones and they had these little discs in between them, and I immediately sent a text to Jennifer and I was like, what are these? And she said, it's cartilage, which sent me on a deep dive finding out about cartilage in the spines and how long it lasts and why it is the color that it is, because it has kind of a pretty coral color when you find it on the mountain. I know that sounds weird to say cartilage on the mountain is pretty, but it's beautiful.
It really is.
And the other thing I know about bones is my daughter and my husband love to watch Monsters Inside Me. And this is my favorite story about bones, is it was raining one day. I was hiking with my family and I picked up a bone and they all panicked and said, haven't you watched Monsters Inside Me? You're going to get parasites. We laugh about the word parasites now, and we think it's so funny, but they made sure I didn't touch my face, and they had me put down the bones, and they were so worried. But truthfully, the bones were very old, and I'm sure I was just fine picking them up. By the way, it was a bone that Jennifer collects, so I was like, oh, look, these ones I should take home to Jennifer, only to freak out my family.
I think by now I'm probably controlled by parasites, so it doesn't matter anymore. But truthfully, it's just like with feathers. Once the bone is on the ground or all the flesh is decayed, it's things leave because there's no
life. Nothing left to eat. Yeah.
But, you know, I know there's always that one person who got the weird...
Some parasite. We've all seen an episode of Monsters Inside Me, maybe. Yeah.
So. Don't watch that show. Or maybe do, but just...
Take it with a grain of salt.
My first thing that I ever think of when I think of bones or when I see bones is that this is the structure. This is the underlying thing that keeps a living organism going. And that thought of if the bones aren't good, then it's going to affect the whole entire house or being or whatever have you. Apparently there's this song, and Christine showed it to me, and I had heard it before. It's called...
I think it's called The Bones Are Good by Maren Morris. But she talks about that, how if the bones are good, the rest don't matter. And it's kind of a little bit true.
But yeah, the structure is important. And the other thing I like about bones is that they are nutritious. So when I was a little girl, every year after Thanksgiving, we would take the turkey bone with some meat left on it and put it in a big pot with a bunch of vegetables and everything and let it stew and stew and stew and stew and create what everybody now calls bone broth, but we just called it turkey carcass soup, which sounds awful. I know it does, but that's what we called it. But my mom would explain to me that this was the best and most nutritious broth we could ever make and ever eat because the bones contain marrow, marrow contains minerals and all the things, the red blood cells, everything that's in the bone that is nutritious. So the bones in soup is very important.
I guess I never thought about that much because my dad was a butcher. We had animals and bones all over the house yeah. all the time.
You were just like, bone.
I'm sure I consumed a lot of bone broth, but never gave it any thought.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's really true. Bones are they're not only structural, but they're full of nutrition. The other thing is that bones, unlike the flesh or anything like that, they last a long time. So when you see a bone on a mountain, it can be there for years and years and years and years and years because they don't break down quickly at all unless they're in the right environment. They will eventually over time, but it just takes a long time, which is why you find the bones of people who have been dead for thousands of years, right? And then also, you know, sometimes they do become fossils, which is like a permanent bone almost. It's replaced by minerals, so it's not really the bone, but it's like the bone becomes a hardened rock.
I think I've enjoyed learning a little bit about bones and how you can kind of tell how long they've been on the mountain. If it's an area that gets a lot of sunlight, they get bleached faster, and so you know the bones might not be quite as old. If it's an area that doesn't get much sunlight, the bones can be there for a lot longer before they turn white.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll find bones that have hairline cracks, like they've had that varnish put on it, crackle yeah. varnish. And you know, you can find them in all kinds of states like that. I don't know, there's something just really fascinating about finding the bones. Which brings us to our next subject, which is, where do we find bones when we wander? One of the biggest areas of bone collecting that I have discovered is in ravines. And I'll let Christine tell you a story about that.
So my favorite story about finding bones was early on when we were hiking together and Jen took me up to this place called Water Tower, and we were coming down this ravine and there was just skeleton after skeleton after skeleton.
It's like a horror alley almost.
It really kind of is. And I said to her, are we safe here? Like, really, are we safe here? And she says, yeah, there's no blood.
This is just my stuff right
which
there.
Meant that they were old enough to at least have no blood there. And I thought, okay, but does that still mean we're safe? And she says, well, yeah, coyotes don't hunt during the day. I thought, even still, are we safe here? But well, now I jokingly call it the boneyard. Yes. And if I tell my husband I'm going hiking, he'll say, where are you going? And I say, oh, the boneyard area. And everyone knows what it is. I've taken a few of my kids through there and they say, there's so many bones here. And I don't know why there's so many bones there.
I don't know, but now I'm wondering, because Halloween's coming up, we should start charging a fee to bring people through that at night.
Let's do that, because it is exciting. A little bit scary out there how many bones there are.
There's a lot. There really is. And I had kind of had the theory that maybe there might be a lot of coyotes in that area, because I feel like coyotes like to drag the bones into the ravines and eat them. They drag them all over the place, but they're usually... They like to, and even when they, if they do hunt a deer or something, they need to have walls, so they don't really hunt deer out in the open like a wolf will or a cougar. It's usually against some kind of wall because yeah. they're not really that kind of predator, but It's an interesting place, that boneyard. We do find them, of course, out on the landscape, just laying around. We find hunter dumps a lot of the time, and sometimes I feel, I don't know.
We have reported a few hunter dumps. Even though they can do that, there's certain places that they should not just leave a carcass, because it draws the predators down closer to where people have homes.
Yeah, we find a lot of pet graves, and it's something that I totally get. Yeah. But please, if you're going to bury your pet somewhere out in the wilderness or whatever, dig deep enough that the predators don't dig it back up and drag your pet's bones out all over. Because I find those sometimes.
I think we've both found open graves, too, that we've taken the time to try to recover.
Yeah.
And help rebury pets.
Recently, I came across a horse, which is odd. We've had a couple horses, which is really weird. And I know it's hard to dig a grave that big. So maybe not the best place to bury a horse if you don't want its bones drag around. I mean, what does it matter? I don't know. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the coyotes or other scavengers drag bones around from other kills. If you ever find a dead animal stashed under something, that's a good area to maybe move away from, because cougars do not kill and then eat out in the open and leave it. Usually they stash their food. That's usually like a cougar or cat kill.
Yeah.
I don't find those as often. I've come across one once, and it was kind of fresh, and there was actually some scat there too, and it's just kind of like backed away and went the other way. So what kind of bones do we find? Well,
a lot of deer legs. We kind of joke. I had one year we were hiking, and every week I felt like I found another deer leg, and I'd say, oh, look, here's another deer leg. We joked about making a calendar, the deer legs of the mountain.
So if you want one of these calendars, please comment, and we will make it happen for you.
We'll put it together, because during the course of the year, I think we found 14 or 15 deer legs, which is a full calendar. We'll pick the best those pictures. I assume deer legs get dragged around sometimes by dogs as they go through, because there's not a lot of meat on them. There's not a lot to consume, so they kind of get discarded and then dragged around.
Yep, I have seen people jogging and their dog has a nice leg of deer as it runs by.
We do find a lot of elk. The elk are so much bigger, though.
Mm-hmm. They are massive, massive compared to deer. It is always astonishing. I have a picture of a deer pelvis, an elk pelvis, and then a little raccoon pelvis. They all have a similar shape. They look like masks. They kind of have these two holes. They're the coolest things ever.
They are really
like,
cool.
I should put that on as we go put people through the boneyard. It'd be the best Halloween experience ever.
So true.
I have found a couple. I found a coyote skull, and I found a fox skull, a couple fox skulls, but they're more hidden back, or don't find those as often, just laying around. And I have found a bobcat skull. So, but those are, I think that deer, those animals are the ones we find the most.
Yeah.
We do find bird bones, and there's a funny story about the turkey sacrum bone. We're hiking in this one area where we hike a lot, and there's this bone, and it looks like a giant snake skull. It really does. And I was like, we thought, what is this?
So confused. We're both using Google Lens trying to figure out what this is.
We're like, was there a giant like boa constrictor or something? One of those snakes from, what are the, anaconda. Anaconda has come.
Or just the biggest rattlesnake ever up Provo Canyon.
That would be terrifying. And we were so freaked out about it, but kind of excited only to find out it was really the sacrum bone of a turkey. But it was kind of fun.
The difference, I think, with bird bones that's interesting is they're so light because they're hollow. So that's one of the indicators that you have something different than...
Yes, yeah. And one of the things I noticed, too, is that like at the lake, I'll find more bird bones.
We do find a lot of fish bones at the lake. So many carp. I think people catch their carp and then don't want to eat them. So they just leave them there on the side of the lake.
They're kind of cool looking in a way. But you know what's really cool is their scales. They are so kind of pretty. I kind of want to collect them.
Well, and they kind of mummify out there in the sun. And I know it sounds a little creepy, but they are kind of cool looking with their little mouths.
So. Yeah. I'll post a picture of one of those, too. So be sure to look for those. We also find... I have found some raccoon. I found a little weasel skull once. Along the side of the cliff face at the bottom, we often find snake spines because the red-tailed hawks will eat them up on the top and drop them down at the bottom.
I think my favorite bone find was when Jen showed me an owl pellet. And on the side of the mountain, we dissected this owl pellet to find bones inside. And I thought... how can they survive through the stomach of an owl and then be spit back out? But sure enough, there was tiny little vole.
Oh, yeah, little vole bones.
Vole bones inside of an owl pellet. That was eye-opening for me. And then I found another pellet and took it home to my kids to dissect, thinking they would be just as excited as me.
They weren't.
They were not. They were so grossed out.
But some of you might have kids that are. You never know.
Yeah.
I always thought they were cool.
They do it in science class.
I know.
I thought it was interesting. Cool.
Well, speaking similarly, I was out at American Fort Canyon yesterday, and I was looking at rocks, and I came across some scat, and there was a lot of bones in the scat. So they come out the back door and the front door sometimes.
We find bones all over.
Yep. So they just, bones are pretty hardy. It's pretty amazing. So far as we know, we've never found human bones. I really don't hope to find human bones. That's not my aim.
Me either, no.
But I'm sure there are all kinds of bones out there. The next thing is, you may wonder, what do we do with the bones? Do we just leave them on the mountain? A lot of times, yes. I mean, like Christian said, I'm kind of got this bone thing going on, and I like to collect bones. So just like I collect feathers, I like to collect bones.
I don't collect them very often unless I put them in a bag to bring them to Jennifer.
I have been collecting this little part of the deer bone, your ankle. Yeah, little knuckle, because I want to make a necklace out of them because they're super cool. And I have some elk ones too that are ginormous.
That's what I picked up when my family freaked out and thought I'd get parasites.
The parasitic elk bone. I also like to pick up skulls. I like to do painting on the bones. So I'll pick up bones that are really have a lot of big surface, so skulls, and then also the
pelvis.
That big pelvis, like the big.
And the scapula.
The scapula, too. That's the one I'm talking about. That big kind of triangular bone is a great one. So I will collect certain bones.
And for those who don't know, the scapula is like your shoulder blade. So
yeah, I'll have pictures so you can see. I also, when I'm out there sometimes, I like to make sculptures out of them. So I will leave. Sometimes I will make a sculpture of another creature out of the bones that I find. So I have, there's one of like, that looks kind of like a kangaroo unicorn out of that one up there. But, and then I did a seahorse once, and I've done a little dragon. So it's kind of fun to create with
the
bones.
There was a period of time, occasionally she put pelvises in trees.
Yeah.
For me, it was kind of fun to go hiking with my husband somewhere, and we'd come across a pelvis in a tree, and I'd say, oh, Jennifer's been here.
Yeah, Christine knows if there's like a skull or pelvis or something like that hanging in a tree. It's usually me. Yes, that'd be another good idea for our spookelli. Yes. See, we got it all covered. We've got this plan.
Big
snake, the turkey sacrum, the big snake, the anaconda skull.
They don't have
skull.
To know it's turkey. No, we can tell them
it's an
snake.
Anaconda skull.
That's right.
It's great. It's so fun. And then occasionally I'll make what I call a bone garden with some like leg bones and rib bones. And it's just basically like, it looks like flowers or structures coming up out of the ground. So if you ever run across these in Utah, it might be me. I mean, maybe someone else does it. They might.
I don't know. It might be you.
But it might be me. Feel free to comment. I would love to hear from you. I really would. That's pretty much covers it for bones. And, you know, this is just, like I said, it's one of my very most favorite things. The feathers, the bones, they just have a lot of meaning. And I mean, I guess similarly, like feathers, bones can be used for divination as well. There's people who roll bones, people who use bones to make runes, I think. I'm not sure on that one. But I mean, bones have a lot of
scrimshaw and things. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of artwork, things where bones have been used throughout the years for lots of different purposes.
Yeah, yes, for sure. And in the skull, and you think of all the famous, like, alas, poor Yorick. I mean, Hamlet holding the skull, you know.
Yeah.
Talking to his dead friend. And I mean, bones have a lot of symbology, a lot of magic about them.
I think we notice that sometimes on the mountain when you come across some bones there, we always try to pause for a minute and respect the wildlife. And there is kind of just a piece about it too, knowing that it's part of the life cycle. And
for true, that is really true. And I feel like it's true that everything, I feel like the bones are like a part of, they literally, when they do break down, they become the rocks and the minerals and things that form those structures, those kind of the bones of the earth, right? And I mean, that's why that picture was so fascinating to me, I think, by Georgia O'Keeffe, because it just, it's that idea that our bodies and all of it eventually becomes the parts of this earth that is recycled and used again and again, and it never ends. And in that way, I mean, no matter what your belief is, we do live on in some way.
It's
that way.
True.
So kind of beautiful. Be sure to check out that corresponding photo gallery that we're and leave a comment about any experience you have with bones or any questions you have or anything you think about this podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We enjoy having listeners, and hopefully we'll be back together soon. Thank you so much for listening. You can catch us at our blog at www.feathersandbones.blog or on Twitter at @feathersandbones. And
And as always, happy, healthy wandering.
This podcast features the song Bloom by Tazar, available under a Creative Command BYSA Attribution Share Alike license. Also, if you are looking for a great recipe for chicken soup using the whole bird, like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, please check out senseandedibility.com Medicine Bowl Soup. It is the best recipe that I've ever found for soup that will pack a punch against colds, viruses, and flus, including COVID, and it tastes amazing. So again, look for Medicine Bowl Soup from Sense and Edibility, senseandedibility.com. And thank you, Chef Marta Rivera, for sharing your expertise and posting.